Today we talk about Rescue ICSI. I'm Dr. Mark Amels, and this is Taco About Fertility Tuesday. It was 6 a.m. It was just another day. Blue skies, and Kathy was by herself. She pulled the dish out of the incubator and looked in the microscope.
Oh my God, she thought.
The medics came in immediately. They walked in the room and said,
"What's the situation?"
And Kathy said,
"None of the eggs fertilized."
And that's when the medics said,
"We're gonna need a rescue ICSI."
Okay, it's really not that dramatic, but we had to have fun with this. But one of the reasons I want to do this podcast is because I think many people don't understand what Rescue ICSI is. Matter of fact, one of my patients the other day said to me, "Hey, let's just try the standard insemination, and if it doesn't work, you can just ICSI it with Rescue ICSI." And the thing is, yes, you can do that, but that's a very bad idea. So first, let's talk about what ICSI is. It's abbreviation for intracytoplasmic sperm injection, ICSI, sometimes pronounced ICSI. And it's used for people who have poor sperm quality. In fact, my wife and I had to use ICSI because my sperm count is low. And so what they do is they take that sperm, they inject it into the egg one sperm at a time, and then that allows fertilization. Now, naturally, eggs usually fertilize around 80%, but with ICSI, it could be closer to about 70%. Now, that seems like a horrible number, thinking, man, if you put that sperm inside it, it's only 70%. But yes, that's kind of the standard percentage. And that's because there are more things going on there than just putting the sperm in. There's egg quality issues. There can be DNA issues in the sperm. And so 70% is actually a fair number. The other option is standard insemination, where you take the sperm and put it on top of the egg and you allow it to fertilize naturally, where the sperm then goes through the granulosa cells to the zona pellucida of the egg and fertilizes it. The problem is, sometimes this doesn't work, and we get there the next day, and we look in the petri dish, and we see that the sperm have not fertilized the eggs, and then the question is, do we do rescue ICSI? And you would think, yes, 100%, why would you not? That egg needs to be fertilized, but there are actually criteria that need to be met to be able to do rescue ICSI. Now, the reason why this isn't needed much is because most of the time, we are always planning if someone needs to do ICSI. Most clinics do over 50% ICSI. But there are parameters that tell us when ICSI may be needed. For example, if there are problems with the sperm and the shape of the sperm, called teratospermia, we would do ICSI. If the quality of the sperm is poor, we would do ICSI. If even failed fertilization in the past or poor fertilization, we would do ICSI. Now, there are some clinics that only do ICSI. They don't ever do anything else, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the way they do it, and that's a fair way to go. But for some people, they don't want to do ICSI, or they would rather have the higher chances of fertilization with standard insemination. The difference here is standard insemination could theoretically fail. The sperm may not get into the egg. Whereas at least with ICSI, you know the sperm is getting in the egg. But what about rescue ICSI? So rescue ICSI is basically an emergency procedure we're using because we had unexpected failed fertilization. Again, we didn't expect it, so we weren't even planning it. And what's interesting is that what happens is they come in the morning and they look at the embryos. Now, you have to understand, to be able to see the embryos, you have to first strip the cells away from the embryos. So if you're doing ICSI from the standard standpoint, you're going to do it right from the beginning. The day of the retrieval, they go and they strip the cells off of the embryo so they can see which ones are mature, and then they inject them with a needle. Now, if you're doing standard insemination, they don't do that. They just go and put the embryos with the sperm, and usually there's a certain quantity of sperm you want per egg, and so that's calculated. And then the next morning they come in, they look at the embryos, they can't see them yet, they strip them, and then they find out if the eggs have fertilized. If they notice the eggs have not fertilized, and none of them did, then that would be a good time to do rescue ICSI. and there are signs of failed fertilization. For example, if you go and you look at the egg, and there are no sperm attached to the zona pellucida, which is the kind of shell that the sperm go through to get into the egg, then that points to there was problems with the sperm attaching to the egg and would explain why they didn't fertilize. Versus, if you see a whole bunch of sperm attached to the egg, but they're all failed fertilized, then there's this question that comes up, which is, how do you know a sperm didn't get into it and we just haven't seen it split? And if we put another sperm into it, now we're going to have two sperms in one egg. Whereas in standard IVF, it's only one sperm per egg, because if you put two sperm in, that's how you get molar pregnancies. So one of the standards is, if you go in the morning and you look and you see, let's say, four of the eggs have fertilized, but eight of them did not, you cannot do rescue ICSI. Because at that point, you can't assume that they didn't fertilize. You just have to assume they didn't fertilize at all. Not that there's something wrong. The same token, though, if you go and maybe there's one that has fertilized and the rest of them have not fertilized, then that is a clinical decision. If there's no sperm attached to any of them and just one look fertilized, then you can potentially make that decision, and that is something they should talk to the patient about. But the standard is, technically, if you have no fertilization at all, then rescue ICSI is warranted. And again, there are signs of that because the sperm is not attached to the egg. But if you even have one egg that has fertilized, technically, you should not do rescue ICSI. In our clinic, we tend to follow the rule, if one fertilized, we don't do rescue ICSI. But I do think it's important to understand that I do think clinically, there are times that people can deviate, and that's a decision that they have to decide on for themselves. So then the question is, what's the big deal? Why wouldn't everyone try standard and SEM, and then worst case, you have to do rescue ICSI? I mean, basically, you get the best of both worlds. But in reality, you don't. See, the embryos that are created from rescue ICSI end up being poor quality and end up not having the same success rates. Matter of fact, even the fertilization themselves ends up being lower than the fertilization that would occur if you just did ICSI as planned. What this means is, this is not a rescue ICSI that has high chances, but actually it's kind of a Hail Mary, and really it should be called Hail Mary ICSI. That's because the chances are not going to be as good at the fertilization, and the quality of those embryos will not be as good, leading to lower live birth rates. Matter of fact, I had a patient of myself who went through and they had failed fertilization, and we had to do rescue ICSI. And her embryos were not very good quality. Very few made it to the end. The grading of them were poor. And afterwards, they almost wanted to give up. And I remember her talking to me saying, like, you know, obviously this is a sign and that we're not supposed to have kids. And I explained to her that, no, please understand that, you know, this is because of the rescue ICSI, and that, you know, if you did this again and we planned ICSI, things would go just fine. And I remember her partner just could not understand this. He just could not understand how, why would it be any different? It's still the same technique. And I tried to explain that when the egg has been sitting there for 20 something hours and having late fertilization like that, there's effects that occur. I remember I had to come up with an analogy to help explain to him, because he was just almost furious. Like, how could I tell him that it would be different? And I explained to him, like, I finally came up with this horrible analogy about a Subway sandwich, and that even if it's the greatest sandwich in the world, if someone, let's say, contaminated that sandwich with something disgusting, it's going to taste bad, but there's nothing wrong with the sandwich. It's just that in that situation it was bad. And so finally he kind of got to the point going, oh, so it ruined the embryos. I'm like, exactly. You never actually got a chance to try the real sandwich because someone ruined it from the beginning. Now, I'm not going to use that for analogy here, because again, I had that for him because I had to, like, brute force come up with something that a guy would understand. But for you, I have a different analogy. We know that when you have a heart attack, if you treat it immediately, the success is very high. But the longer it takes until you can get an AED and get treatment, your chances of surviving a heart attack are lower. And that's because some of the damage has already been done. Now, it's not a perfect analogy because it doesn't go exactly like that, but that's the same principle. When you do ICSI planned, it's being done at the right time, just like it happens in nature. But when it's being done at the very last second, when basically the egg is about ready to start dying, the fertilization rate is lower and the quality of those embryos end up being lower. Now, I don't want you to think they won't work. Many, many pregnancies have come from rescue ICSI. Many of our pregnancies have come from rescue ICSI. It's just the point is, it's not going to be as good, and never judge that cycle as what would have happened with planned ICSI. It's different. And that patient I told you about, they did do transfers and they did have chemical pregnancies, but eventually they went through IVF again, and we did planned ICSI, and they got more embryos, high quality embryos. Now instead of CC grades, they were like A's and B's, and they ended up having success doing an embryo transfer. Now, I wasn't surprised, but they were surprised because in their mind, they're like, what's the difference? But the difference is humongous. The important part to understand is not just do the quality of the embryos end up being different, but also that chances of getting pregnant are different. So why did I do this podcast? What was the purpose of it? Because I felt there were two things that were misconceived. The first is that you can just try regular insemination. If it doesn't work, you can use ICSI. And as I just presented, you can't do that. That's a horrible idea. If you need ICSI, start with ICSI. Because as I talked about, doing rescue ICSI is not the same thing as planned ICSI, and that you will actually have lower fertilization and you will have poor quality of those embryos that will lead to a lower live birth rate. As we discussed, the egg's viability is declining as you get closer to that 24-hour window where the egg is going to undergo a process called atresia and die. Just like if I got a heart attack and someone waited 2 hours to come see me, I'm probably not going to be around. But if I have an AED that's 5 minutes away, I might be able to survive, just like in IVF with ICSI. So that brings up 2 points. Obviously, the first point is never try standard insem with the thought that rescue ICSI is going to be just as good. It's not. You will have lower quality embryos and will have less top quality embryos with rescue ICSI compared to planned ICSI. But the other thing that I think is important, even if you understand that, is that understand that cycle should not be what you measure doing another cycle. Meaning, if you do poor in that cycle, don't think that you're not going to have success doing now ICSI planned. It's going to go much better. But it's hard for you to feel that way. And some people will just give up thinking, well, there's no point. It was so bad. And they even did ICSI. But you have to look at it from the standpoint of, once it failed FERT, the cycle already was poor. And at that point, they were doing a Hail Mary, hoping that maybe, just maybe, they can get a few embryos to give you a chance. And if it worked, hallelujah. That is awesome. But if it doesn't, don't look at it as like, oh, we're just doing it again, the same thing's going to happen. No, you're doing it completely different. Now, you're getting the medics to the person a lot faster, and not waiting until they're about ready to die, which the egg is at 24 hours. Instead, right when the egg's expecting it, you're injecting the sperm in right from the beginning, fixing the fertilization issues, and having a completely different IVF cycle with more top quality embryos. Hopefully this was a useful episode for you. Maybe you learned something. Maybe you have a friend going through this and you can tell them about it. The point is of this episode is to help you understand why rescue ICSI is there, and that it's not really a rescue ICSI, but a Hail Mary ICSI. Never rely on standard insemination if you know you need ICSI, and that they can just try rescue ICSI. It's a horrible idea, and that some clinics, where it can be very expensive, you can even get charged for that rescue ICSI, even when you're not planning it, and that could be a hidden surprise and cost. As always, if you like the podcast, please tell your friends about us. And then if you like it enough, go on your favorite medium and give us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you guys next week with another great episode of Talk About Fertility Tuesday.